Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. We appreciate your choice of where you will be right now. It could be that you're already at work, or maybe you're on your way to work or getting ready for work. We trust that the testimony today will be an encouragement to you. In the studio with me this morning is Miss Ann Dreisbach. She is a missionary to Suriname, has been a missionary to Africa, and just has had a fantastic, exciting life. Ann, welcome. We're certainly glad to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here with you.
And Ann is part of our missionary staff, as we call them, just kind of like pastoral staff here at the church. We believe that our missionaries are part of our staff as they represent us around the world, help us to carry out the Great Commission the Lord has given us. And Ann, God has just blessed you in an awesome way. Missions, however, is something that's been part of your life, all of your life. Tell us about that.
Sure. I'd love to share my life with you. And in sharing my life with you, there is a verse that I feel asks a good question. And as I share my life with you, you can see the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And as I reflect back over my life and what God has allowed me to experience and to do for Him, I believe that the answer is very clear. So I think perhaps I would just share a little bit of that life with you.
That would be great.
Sure. In mid-June 1948, my father was 26 years old, my mother was 24, and I was only 3 months old.
Hmm.
We were on our way to West Africa. We flew in a plane that didn't fly as fast as planes fly today.
Right.
And they had to stop more often for refueling. We flew from New York to Amsterdam to Tunisia to Kano, Nigeria. The airlines was called the KLM, and it was nicknamed the Flying Dutchman. When we arrived in North Africa, we were asked to get off the plane and to go into a waiting area. And while we were waiting for them to finish the refueling, there was an old British colonial officer who cursed and cursed, the vilest cursing my parents had ever heard.
Mm.
And then he went over to my father and he said, "Are you really taking that beautiful baby girl to Africa? Don't you realize that's the white man's grave? She'll probably be dead within 6 months, and maybe you too." But my parents had confidence that God had called them. Psalms 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." And my parents also claimed another verse. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." My mom likes to tell a story. When I was a little girl, I was about 1 to 1.5 years old, and by that time I already had a little baby brother, and a little sister was on her way, so my mother had her hands full there in the ancient city of Kano, and so she put me in a box of dried lima beans, and I played and I played in that box of lima beans for over an hour. And then when she took me out of that box of lima beans, she found a big, black, poisonous scorpion, which could have been fatal for a little child. But remember, I asked that question, is there anything too hard for God?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to realize that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Psalms 91, verse 11 and 13 says, "For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." God didn't allow that scorpion to sting me.
And you say you were sitting there for an hour playing in those beans. Of course, as a child, you're always moving.
You're right. And that scorpion really could have stung me.
Well, of course.
And I could have died if it had stung me.
Right, right.
But we see God was not finished with me yet.
God had a plan.
He had a plan.
Good lesson for each one of us, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Well, do you want to hear another story?
Sure.
Okay. Well, when I was in the first grade, I had to be sent away to a boarding school for missionary children.
Mm-hmm.
The school was approximately 400 miles away from the ancient city of Kano. We flew in little one-engine planes. We stayed there throughout the year, going home for 3 weeks at Christmas and 3 weeks in the summer. When I was in the first grade, I became sick with hepatitis, yellow jaundice, and this can also be fatal. I was eventually taken to a mission hospital, was on complete bed rest for 6 weeks, and given all kinds of diet restrictions. My parents at the time were way up in another republic, the Republic of Niger, and there was no contact at that time. Didn't have telephones. And
they didn't even know you were sick.
They didn't even know I was sick.
Oh, my goodness.
But there were nurses who came on holiday to the plateau where the boarding school was.
Right.
They heard about my being sick, so they took the news back to my parents.
Okay.
And, of course, my parents were quite concerned,
mm-hmm.
but their assurance was in the fact that they knew they were in the Lord's will.
Right.
And they claimed Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content."
Wow.
And so all they could do was just commit me to the Lord's will.
You know, contentment with God is an awesome position, isn't it?
It sure is.
And when we recognize that the word con means with, and tent means abiding place, and so therefore we are abiding with God in the same tent, so to speak, and His presence being there with your parents gave them a peace that they could find nowhere else.
That's right. But I want to tell you another story about when I was in that boarding school.
Okay.
In the first grade.
Sounds like a rough year.
We had family devotions in the boarding school on Saturday night. All of the kids in the school met together for evening devotions. And one night, our house mother asked the children to give salvation testimonies. And I could not give one. And I just didn't understand why I couldn't.
Mm.
I was a missionary kid, just like all of them. My dad was an evangelist, just like their fathers were evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
We were all from Christian homes, so why couldn't I give a testimony like the other kids? This really concerned me, and especially when another little first grader could give one.
Okay.
That night I went back to my room, had my shower, climbed up on the top bunk bed, and I was still very concerned about what experience the other kids had had that I hadn't had. Then later on, a little 12-year-old girl came into the room, and she asked if any of us would like to accept Christ as our Savior. And so I climbed out of bed, knelt by the bottom bunk, and asked Christ to come into my heart and to save me. Very shortly after that, I remember lying on that top bunk bed and believing with all of my heart that God would have me be a medical missionary just like my own missionary parents.
Right.
I could see myself wiping a fevered brow and giving a spoonful of soup to an African and telling him about Jesus. And yet at that same moment, there was a reality within me, and that reality brought a disappointment because I believed that God meant for me to be single. And I was so disappointed because every little girl wants to be a wife and a mother. And yet, even as a six-year-old, I understood that eternity is forever and ever and ever.
Sure.
And I did not want God to be disappointed with me in eternity, and I did not want to be disappointed with God in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when I was in the third grade, I was out on the swings, swinging by myself for all I was worth, my little pigtails blowing in the breeze, and I wondered why God hadn't made me intelligent and gifted in sports and art and music and poetry like some of the other children, because I felt like a really gifted missionary would be much more effective. And then again, I came to the conclusion that God made me the way He made me for a purpose, and all I could do was to be content in his choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me of Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, which says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord."
Right.
And that is certainly what I want to hear Christ say of me in eternity. Then, you remember, I believed that God would have me be a medical missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of my educational career was geared towards being prepared for that goal. I remember when I was 18 years old, going down to the Greenville General Hospital School of Nursing in Greenville, South Carolina, to be interviewed by the director of the nursing program. My father went with me. After Miss Warnicke shuffled through her papers, she looked up at me and she said, "Annie, your grades are good, your recommendations are excellent, but we just can't accept you. You are too frail and too petite." And certainly, Miss Warnicke had the power to make decisions, and at that moment, the odds were against me.
Mm.
But my gentle, soft-spoken father looked at Miss Warnicke, and he said, "Miss Warnicke, to be a nurse is the only thing that Annie has ever wanted to be. Wouldn't you just accept her on a trial basis?" I was accepted. I completed the nursing program, and now, so many years later,
mm-hmm.
I am having the opportunity of being the health provider on a river in the interior of South America. Proverbs tells us that the thoughts of a king are in the hands of the Lord.
You know, and all throughout this part of your testimony, it's been one scripture right after another. What a lesson for every one of our listeners this morning, that when we're facing major decisions, when we're facing major discouragements, Scripture, what does God's Word have to say? And that's how He speaks to us, isn't it?
That's right. And the more we know our Scripture, the more it's there to be applied to our lives and to help us in our daily experiences.
Well, folks, thank you so much for listening with us this morning. We will continue Anne's testimony the next time we're together. I trust that your Bible will be taken off the shelf today. Sometime during the course of your day, would you just commit to Him the difficult times that you're going through, the decisions that you need to make, the encouragement that you are seeking, and ask God to direct you in His Word, so that, as the title of our broadcast is, it will be true in your life. It will be the Word for life for you. Until next time, may the Lord bless you in an awesome way.